But I want to go to Psalm 12 for Sunday school, and we're going to watch the clock and do this by about a quarter after. Is that right, Pastor? 20 after, okay. Psalm number 12, and let's read all 8 verses of it to start, and then we'll back up and walk through it just a little bit. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Now, let's look at all of this, but to get us started, let's start at the bottom of the psalm. That 8th verse says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Now, when you think about it, in any position of leadership, whether that be the leadership in your home, your school, your church, your government, whatever, if wicked men get in positions of leadership. You know, and sometimes we say, well, this this guy got in, or that guy got in, or this gal or that gal got in, and they're there. Now, I want to remind you, and I think you probably understand this, but a lot of Christian people have the idea, well, whoever gets in, you know, God put them there. However bad they are, God put them there. Now, some things in the Bible kind of get in the way whenever you start talking like that. For example, Hosea chapter 8 and verse 4, God said to Israel, they have, and I give it directly, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. So just because somebody gets elected dog catcher or to Congress or to this or that or whatever, it doesn't mean that they're there now. They're filling a God-given role. Yes, sir. But to assume that every wicked person, you know, the Nebuchadnezzars of the world or whatever, the Husseins, to assume that they're God's, I got to back up. I'll get sidetracked here. But we got to watch this, because the Bible says when vile men, wicked men, get exalted, guess what happens? The wicked walk on every side. That you say, how do we explain the drive-by shootings? How do we explain the abuse of children? How do we explain all of these wicked things that are going on? I mean, the embezzlement that goes on. How do we explain all of that? Well, somewhere in the structure of leadership in society, this got set aside. I mean, if you don't think Hollywood has gotten worser and worser as the years have gone along, you just haven't lived as long as some of us have. I mean, you wonder why Andy Griffith, Mayberry RFD. You wonder why that's still popular. Well, you can watch that without being trashed with all kinds of vile things and other such things. I mean, there used to be things on television where the guy wearing the white hat always won. But now then, you know, it's a different picture. Well, what happened? Well, we got a bunch of bad guys in positions of leadership in the entertainment industry. I mean, we used to turn the TV on for news and assume that they were telling us, You say, well, it's really gotten bad. Let me tell you what, it didn't just get bad. Some of you are old enough to remember when Dwight Eisenhower died. Well, no, not all of you are, but some of you are. Well, I'll help you out with it. It was 1969, and we were living in Kansas City. They put his body on a train in Washington and sent it by train all the way to Abilene, Kansas, where he's buried. Betty and I and a couple in our church, I was in seminary out there at the time and pastor of a church, and we got up real early, I mean, middle of the night, and drove the, I don't know what it is, 3 hours, 4 hours, or whatever, from Kansas City out to Abilene. And we got out there early enough. We knew where the train was going to park. They had it marked off. We were as close as from here to the door where they took him off the train. Secret Service agents were there. Nixon, LBJ, Omar Bradley, they all came and followed the casket right behind where they took him off the train. I mean, we were there. I mean, we had a bird's eye view. Right? I mean, I was standing holding the rope where they had it marked off. We got back home late in the day, but late enough we watched the evening news. And this was my first beginning to understand something was going wrong. I mean, we had been to the funeral of a former president. And we watched what they reported on the networks that night, and I remember saying to my wife, and I've repeated it many times, and she always acknowledges it. I told her, I said, what I saw reported on the news and what you and I saw in Abilene looked like two totally different things, and it was just the funeral of one of our nation's leaders. Now, you say, what is going on? Well, some bad eggs have gotten into the media. And the result of that is the wicked walk on every side. They do whatever they choose to do. Because, well, same thing could be said in almost every arena of our lives. If things begin to go downhill, next thing you know, you've got all kinds of crazy things going on. I mean, just think about what goes on in the streets of Chicago, what goes on in the streets of LA and New York, and all of these major cities. And even what's going on after dark in a lot of our small towns. I've had the privilege a couple of times of getting in a patrol car and riding with an officer at night. And I'm telling you, typically I'm at home asleep at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, but you ride with one of the boys in blue around through town, and it'll shock you what goes on after dark. You say, what's going on? The wicked are walking on every side. They're out for blood. They're out for no good. And the break, I mean, this psalm's going to tell us some more here in a minute. I mean, I'm trying to explain what is very obvious to all of us. When, I mean, we just look up and down the street, we can see vile men are exalted, wicked walk on every side. All right, here's the second piece of this psalm. Let's back up to the very top now. Very top, he says, by way of a prayer, he said, Lord, you got to help me. The reason we need help is, he says, the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail. Now, when he says the godly man ceaseth, it's not saying that they're all dead. What he's saying is, I'm looking for them and I'm having a hard time finding them. They used to be here. They used to be visible. They used to be in a place of prominence. But where are they now? Well, if you've been paying attention the last 40, 50 years in America, you know what has happened. Every vestige of things Christian has been pushed down and pushed down and pushed down again and again and again. I mean, pushing it out of sight to the point where that, you know, you look around and you say, how did all of these birds get into positions of authority in the various, I mean, you look at the universities. Just think about it. How did this happen? And in fact, if I may stop here and, for a moment and just say parenthetically, I mean, with all that's going on in our nation now, why in the world would anybody in their right mind want to run for public office or let themselves be nominated for something like a court position or something? With the grilling and the unjust damage that's done so often to good people. So what happens? You're looking all around, you say, well, the godly people, there are not many of them there. When I was pastor in Maryland, we worked to encourage a lot of our people to run for public office. And last time I counted, there was something in the neighborhood of 25 of them. I'm talking about over the last 30, 35 years. There have been about 25 members of our church that have got elected to something. One of our men served 20 years in the state senate. Another lady served 20 years in the House of Delegates. President of the county government was one of our guys for a while. We've had more than one that were elected county commissioners. Five-member commission runs the county government. City council members, school board members, etc. And I'm telling you, every one of them that got elected, I tried to stick as close to them as I possibly could, because they were being bombarded like crazy. In fact, some of our people that I talked to, and I said, hey, why don't you run for this or run for that? And they said, Pastor, I don't want to get into that. So what happens? The godly disappear. They sequester themselves. They hide somewhere. Now, and so he says, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Now, last time I checked, you and I are not supposed to be of the world, but we are in the world. And we're supposed to be seasoning salt, and we're supposed to be light, exuding light in the midst of the darkness. And so he says here, the faithful have failed from among the children of men. All right, so verse 8 tells us about the wicked. Verse 1's telling us about what's happening some to our crowd. Now, you look at verses 2, 3, and 4, and here's the kind of things that you're going to be hearing. You say, where are you going to hear this? You're going to hear it from the unsaved, the verse 8 people, and you're going to hear it from the failing, faithful people. You're going to hear it from the godly people who are sequestering themselves and hiding. And here's some of what's going to be said. They're speaking vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. Double heart, you know, that means one thing one minute and something else the next. Now, the Lord's going to deal with that, verse 3. He's not happy with that. But here's what that crowd says. They said, hey, with our tongue, we'll prevail. Man, we'll get up. We can say whatever. I mean, we can spin it as we want it to be heard. We can take our tongue and, I mean, we can sell ice cubes to Eskimos. Amen? That's what they're saying. And he says, our lips are our own. He said, nobody's the boss of me. I'll do whatever I'll say whatever I want to say. Nobody's going to tell me what I ought to say. And then that last phrase, who is Lord over us? Nobody going to be our Lord. No, sirree, we're in charge of us. That's us. Now, folks, this is what happens when God gets left out. This is what happens whenever people look at the Bible and say, eh. Prominent contemporary pastor down in Atlanta. See the national news a few weeks ago when he said, the Old Testament's passé. Don't bother with that anymore. Made national news. That's more than half the Bible he just threw out with one little press release. That's not the only thing he's off on, by the way. Now, so that's the clamor. All right, look at verse 5. We get to verse 5, and he talks about the oppression of the poor, the sighing of the needy. But the Lord says, I'll arise, and I'll set him, that is, the needy and the poor, I'll set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Now, that puffing at him, I think that means they're pushing on him, pushing back on him, giving him pressure, etc. And what happens, folks, whenever God is left out, whenever the Ten Commandments are thrown to the wind, what happens in all of that is the weakest and the most vulnerable people among us get trampled and treated like slaves and worse. Now, we got two more verses here, and the best is yet to come in this chapter. But let me just pause here to say, if you wonder why Blessed Hope Baptist Church has made such a to-do over the years running these buses and bringing these kids in here and loving on them, if you've wondered that, if you're not on board with that, if you don't understand why that's happening, let me just tell you, up and down these roads, there are people on every street. They're in every town in America. There are people that, for whatever reason, they're as vulnerable as they can be, and they need somebody who will love them, somebody who will say to them, there's more to life than just just being trash. There's more to it than that. You don't have to stay there. With God's help. And that's where we are. That's why we're here. That's what we do. Now, look at verses 6 and 7. And here comes the good news. I mean, we looked in verses 2, 3, and 4, and we heard all of the clatter and the clamoring of people that are trying to do it without God. And by and large, and you know, we all make cracks about the politicians. You know, we can tell when they're lying, their lips are moving, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, it's not just the politicians. There's a lot of people in our society. I mean, they're making their way in the world by moving their lips and telling falsehoods. And we know we live in a lying, dying society. But again, here's the good news. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You say, what does that mean? Well, let me give you a Smithsonian version of that. That means I can't open my Bible to the wrong page. That means that every syllable of every word that I find in this Bible is true. And everybody up and down the street, remember that verse in the New Testament where they said, all the Cretans are liars? Well, I'll tell you what, everybody you know may be a liar, but there's one person you know that's not, and that's the great God Almighty. What he tells you in this book, you can depend on. His words are pure words. And then he says in verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So if the Lord keeps his word, that means if he makes a statement, makes a promise, I can count on it. I mean, Moses built his life on God's truth, and the Apostle Paul built his life on God's truth, and a bunch of others read about in the Bible, and I think about some of the men that we've known in years past that are now in heaven. I mean, great, great men of God that we've known, they built their lives on that. Hey, listen, this Bible says that God will keep what he has promised. His word will be true for me every step of the way, and I can pass it along to the folks that are coming after me. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord, and thou wilt preserve them. I hear from people just every little bit. In fact, I had some mail this week from some folks who were not ugly, but they were just letting me know they didn't believe everything that I've said. You said, well, what was their problem? Well, they were fussing at me because just this, what I'm telling you right now about the fully inspired Bible. This Bible says, thou shalt preserve them, talking about the words of God. When I was a boy, down here in West Kentucky, we always had a big garden. And in those days, we canned everything. We raised strawberries, we picked blackberries, and a lot of other things. And later in the winter, Mom would open a jar and I'd say, what you got? She said, that's strawberry preserves. Blackberry preserves. You know what? When we picked them, they were hanging on the vine. Guess what? They were strawberries. We washed them and prepared them, put them in the jar. They were strawberries. 3 months later, when we opened them at the breakfast table, they were still strawberries. You say, how's that possible? We preserved them. You know, here's what we didn't do. We didn't pick strawberries and put them in the jar and say, well, look at those blackberries. And then when we opened on the breakfast table, we said, well, I'll declare blueberries. That's not what happened. We picked them and preserved them. And when they were presented to us, it was the same thing. And the Lord said about his word, it's going to be preserved. You say, well, I'll probably manage that for a few hundred years. But, no, this verse says from this generation, forever. Now, you may have a, no, I'm not going to say that to this crowd. There'll be folks who'll have a problem with that. But if they want to have a problem with it, they can just have a problem with it because that's where we're going to be. Amen? Absolutely. And so here's the deal. The wicked may walk on every side, but you and I have something that enables us in our walk. We'll not be the person who'll walk into the 7-Eleven and pull out a gun. That'll not be us. If somebody robs the bank over here in Brazil or Clay City or down the road here at Linton, if somebody robs the bank, it won't be us. And the reason that it won't be is because we're not building like this worldly crowd. We've locked in to the precious word of God. And we've just said, that's who we are. That's what we believe. And that's why we do what we do as a part of the work in the ministry here. You and I have our hands full. We really do. I mean, in a society like we live in, we have our hands full. And we're not winning all the battles. But as long as we got life and breath, we ought to be standing up to the plate. You know, I played a lot of baseball in my earlier years. And I played fast pitch softball till I was 52. By the way, I had a birthday this week too. Number 39 all over again. But I played fast pitch softball till I was 52, and I only stopped playing because of all this travel I do. Sometimes I would go out to play and I would get my uniform on, and the man who was running the team would say, "I'm going to start." What's his name at first base tonight? I played second base and third base some earlier, but got older, they put me at first base. And played the outfield a little bit earlier years when I could run a little better. But anyway, he'd say something, he'd say, I'm going to start so-and-so at first base tonight. My response always was, yes, sir. You want somebody else to start? Fine. But just understand, if anything develops and you need me, I'm sitting here ready. You get the bases loaded, you want somebody to drive the ball somewhere, I'm the guy, let me do it. Now, I never got over that. I never got over that drive. Did I want to start every time? I wanted to start every time. But hey, there's more than 9 guys, more than 10 guys on the field. So we had to rotate a little bit. But I want to be in the game. If there's something exciting going on, give me a bat. I want to go to the plate. And very frankly, my Christian life and whatever I do in the Lord's work, I don't want to lose that. If there's something, to be done, let me up to bat. Let me have a turn. And if we'll do that, I mean all of us, up and down the rank and file of all that we do here. You say, how do we get there? We get there by camping on things like verses 6 and 7. I mean, we need to understand the rest of this. But we don't need to be intimidated by verse 8. The devils, I mean, they may be doing all kinds of crazy things in town. But we don't need to be intimidated by that. We don't need to be sidetracked by the fact that the wicked are walking on every side. We need to be all the louder, all the more willing to stand up and be counted. And just knowing that God's word's true and everything he tells us, we can count on. And we can build on that. Now, I know that a lot of you have, you've done that. You've raised your families, built your marriage. Some of you are in the process of doing that. And those of you that are just getting started at it, take it from some of the rest of us who have seen it work. You can count on what God tells you.